not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
So we want to look in the book of Jude this evening, and we read verses 20 through 23. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment of spotted by the flesh. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Well, we return to the book of Jude, and of course the book begins with Jude saying, earnestly contend for the faith. The book goes on to describe those who had defected from their faith and had totally living in a godless way of life. For the most part, he has been directing the believers their attention to the evil of others. And now he begins to teach them to look within themselves. He says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, we have to stop and we have to say, what about you? What about us? What about me? What's the state of your soul? What's the state of your mind? While contending for the faith, what are you doing to strengthen yourself in the faith? There are people who love to start an argument and love to use logic to win their argument, and they just go out hunting heretics like they would wild boar. But they've neglected many times to keep themselves in the love of God. The counterpart of contending for the faith is constructing upon the faith. We're to be building at the same time that we're battling. To contend without constructing, or to construct without contending, is a terrible imbalance. We must do both. If the warrior is weak, then the war is going to be lost. Therefore, Jude concludes his small letter by saying, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. The big question at this point is, how does one build up himself in the most holy faith? Well, the answer that Jude gives is at least fivefold. He starts with one word, building. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now, Ephesians 2 and verse 20 says that we're built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. God has placed us upon the foundation of faith, and it's certain that we cannot do anything for ourselves. It's only what God can do for us. But conversely, God will not do for us that which we can do for ourselves. Once we're in the faith, we're founded upon the faith, and we are to erect a substantial edifice of our faith. We are to build up ourselves. Now, Jude's admonition is plainly this. We bear the responsibility for our spiritual self-development. Paul writes on this same theme, saying, Peter writes on, and he writes about the same theme in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7, where he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and so on. And then he later says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The use of the word building here indicates an ongoing process. You haven't arrived. Neither have I. We haven't stopped learning, and we haven't reached heaven yet. And so this is to be a steady, lifelong effort, not just an impulsive splurge now and then, most of us tend to develop our Christianity along the line of our temperament, not along the line of discipline. Impulsiveness is a trait of the natural man, the unsaved man. But it hinders the development of discipleship. Discipleship is disciplined progression. Walking on water is an impulsive thing, but walking on dry land is, in a consistent, Christ-like manner, takes discipline. And what it is that builds us up in this most holy faith is that we have to make ourselves available to the brick and mortar of the Word of God. Paul wrote to the elders of the church at Ephesus, he said, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, that which is able to build you up." So notice responsibility for our spiritual vigor and vitality is placed squarely upon our shoulders, upon the shoulders of the individual believer. Jude says, building up yourselves. He did not say your pastors and teachers are to build you up. Pastors and teachers cannot build you up. They can give us bricks of truth, but we must take them and place them into the mortar mix of the Word of God and start the building up process. Pastors and teachers can provide milk and meat of the Word of God, but we must ingest them. And so James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, in James 1 and verse 22. Doing the word is evidence that we're following God's blueprint for building our faith edifice. Then he offers praying. He says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude encourages us as believers to those who would be praying in the Holy Spirit. The battle against false teachers and false teaching is not to be won by mere argument or logic or intelligence or intellect, whatever you want to call it. God has given spiritual weapons to be used not only in refuting error, but in growing and in building. One of God's greatest gifts to His children is the gift of prayer. Prayer is essential to spiritual vitality and victory. Prayer is something we do in the energy, not of the flesh, but we do it praying in the Holy Spirit. The devil has nothing to fear from prayerless opposition, for the prayerless are powerless. They do not become a threat to him at all. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The word used there for infirmities is actually weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How many times have you entered into the throne room of prayer, not even knowing what to pray for, what to say, but you had to approach God? God takes that, God the Holy Spirit, takes that and conveys your message on your behalf. He intercedes on your behalf. Therefore, the believer has dual intercessors, for Jesus is seated on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. The Spirit of God makes intercession for us according to the will of God in our prayer life. Praying in the Holy Spirit is praying in fervency. Cold praying is to pray without the Holy Spirit's aid. We might as well talk about lukewarm fire if we're going to talk about lukewarm prayer. Praying is praying in the Holy Spirit is to pray with perseverance. Repeated, fervent, knocking upon the door reveals the sincerity of the one praying. Jesus said, knock and it shall be open unto you. For instance, here's an illustration. Someone calls, they don't leave a message, they don't call back. You look at your phone, it says one missed call. Well, you may know who it is, but you say, well, if they really wanted to talk with me, they would left a message or they would call back. Same way in prayer. The knocking on the door reveals the sincerity of the one praying. Jesus said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. No one approaches a closed door and taps on it only on one time, expecting to get the attention of the person living inside. We must pray in faith. Believing prayer is prayer that embraces the promises of God. James 5 and verse 15 speaks of the prayer of faith. Much of prayer is faithless praying because we do not have the faith that God will answer our prayers. Now the third word he uses here in verse 21 is keeping. Keeping yourselves, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now Jude verse 1 reveals that we're preserved in Jesus Christ. That is, that we are kept in Jesus Christ. It is God's responsibility of keeping us. However, it is our responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God. Jude is not implying that it's up to us to do something to keep ourselves saved. He's saying that now that we are saved, that we are to keep responding to God's love by living in such a way that demonstrates that we are in the love of God. For instance, remember the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? He was still loved by his father when he went away into the faraway country, but he had removed himself from the place where he could enjoy the benefits of his father's love. His father never stopped loving the son. But the son did not keep himself in the proximity of his loving father. The sun shines, but if we're in the shadows, we never feel the warmth of the sun's rays. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 9, abide in my love, abide in me. Live in my love, in effect, is what he's saying. Now notice number four, he's saying look. Verse 21, he says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The Greek word translated looking for conveys the idea of waiting for, and it implies eager anticipation. The child of God is to be constantly looking upward and forward. The mercy of the Lord is to be enjoyed day by day. Jeremiah wrote, it's through the mercies of the Lord that we're not consumed, and they are renewed day after day, every morning. Now, Jude reminds us that we're to be constantly looking for that ultimate mercy of God, which is the eternal enjoyment of our eternal life. When we set our eyes upon the God of mercy and upon the mercy of God, we are not apt to be led astray by false teachers. Now, are we expectant Christians? Are we living every day in the anticipation of experiencing the mercies of God afresh and anew? Why? Because they're renewed every day, every morning. Now, number five, the fifth word he uses is pull. Notice with me in verse 23. And others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The mercies of God should not only be enjoyed by us, but we should joyfully share them with others. The word compassion is the Greek word which is often translated as mercy. Those who walk with God through faith in the Lord Jesus receive His mercy. And we should share that mercy with those who have gone astray or are ensnared in false teaching or in sins of the flesh. In fact, it's important to note and point out that the words pulling them out here in our text is also translated snatching them out, and it's the Greek word harpazo, which means to seize, to pluck, to pull, to take by force. It's the same word that is used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, describing of the snatching away, the catching away of the saints. In effect, it's the word rapture. It's to pull them away. And it carries with it the implication of compassionate confrontation. This act of mercifully reaching out to snatch others from the fire should be done with fear. Paul touches on that same thing in his letter to the Galatians. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, when he's talking about spiritually restoring a brother in the spirit of meekness, lest we also be tempted. Now notice the warning. We're to love the sinner but hate the sin. We've heard that all of our life, but it's the truth. We're to be like Jesus, who had the reputation for being a friend of sinners, but he hated sin. He came to be our Savior to rescue us from sin. And when we minister to those whose lives are infected by sin and sickness from sin, we must be careful that we don't become infected by their sin as well. Medical doctors wash their hands when they move from patient to patient to guard against diseases, infections, and viruses. Christians should do the same thing when they're attempting to counsel with other Christians who are ensnared in sins of the flesh. So easy for us to get ensnared by Satan. Now notice what we are to do for ourselves. We're to build, pray, keep, and look. But now look at what we're to do for others. We're to snatch them out of the fire. The rescuing of ensnared believers or the salvation of unbelievers, as far as human responsibility is concerned, depends upon built-up believers. John Wesley, he was the founder, or father, if you will, of Methodism. He was saved from a burning house when he was a child, and he used to refer to himself after his conversion as a brand from the burning. Of course, he wasn't referring to his being saved from a burning house. He was referring to his salvation from a burning hell. Now, in summary and in closing, let's think about what we've learned. Number one, contending for the faith and constructing upon our faith are two activities in which every Christian should be continually involved. Number two, the best argument for the faith is when the saints live it. The way you contend is as important as the weight of your arguments. You can win with your logic. You can win with your determination. You can do that to win an argument. But you may lose with your own life if you're not living that life that you're trying to convey to that person. Therefore, we must build up ourselves in order that life matches our lip. Number three. While we're contending and constructing, we must not neglect converting the sinner from the error of their ways. James says in James 5, 19 and 20, "Brethren, if any of you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Remember the old hymn that we've sang over and over and over from the time that we were children. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. What we're witnessing in our world today is the fact that people are lost and they are as sheep having no shepherd. And so how do we expect lost people to act other than lost people? What we need to do is that we need to be praying the prayer that John prayed as he closed the Revelation. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We need to continue on sharing the Word of God in every means possible. And we need to do what exactly Jude is telling his disciples here, building ourselves up on the most holy faith. And we do that with the brick and mortar of the Word of God. And so I encourage you, I challenge us all to be in the Word of God and to be students of it. Until next time, God bless you, and I trust that you'll have a great week in the Lord.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.